And we are here with episode 5 of Come on.
Sorry.
Hi, my name is Mrs. Melanin.
And I'm Belief Mel.
And we are here with episode 5 of
How Married Are You?
Today's topic is an extension of last week's topic, which had to do with submission.
Yeah, so we're going to pick up right where we left off last week. And I hope you enjoy this. We actually entertained a lot of questions from our Patreon supporters. So enjoy.
Be careful
because
I might,
you know. I can't wait.
I'm expecting it to happen. Yvette, would you say that there's a difference between saying you're going to be submissive and actually carrying that out? For me, I believe in it right now, and I'm just wondering how much saying differs from doing. That is actually a very good question because, I want to be submissive and I'm willing to be submissive, but I'm also very much so a control freak. Like, I have to know what's happening, what's going on, you know, whatever. I feel like I am submissive, but I don't think Glenn feels like I'm submissive. So that's still something we're navigating through. I can't really speak to that one. Do you want to speak to how I'm not submissive?
No.
And then I can...
I don't want to discourage you.
No. But I want you to explain how, in what ways, what does non-submission...
What does submission look like?
Yeah, what does it look like?
Here's a perfect example.
Okay.
We...
I'm nervous.
...own a house.
Okay.
And Yvette wants to move. This has been evident. This is something we talk about all the time. The only difference is the timeline, right? Now, she may see other people on the gram or something, and it's just like, sometimes she's like, man, like, oh, or she'll go over someone's house. And for me, it hurts my feelings. So we'll go to someone's house and she'll be like, oh, we could just move in with you guys. Or she'll be like, oh, don't you guys want to move so you can just give us your house? And I'm just sitting there like, oh, like that's not the plan. And I have plans for your house. I got plans for your house. I know what kind of house you want. We're going to talk about it. We're going to be able to afford it. And we're going to do it, but not immediately when you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important that she allows me to lead her in that direction when we do it for that time. You know what I mean? And I don't think that sometimes... that's not a submission moment. Like, she's just externally processing.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, dude, I'm telling you that we're going to do this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I told you what the heck is going on. And so now we're bringing it out. And it makes me feel like I can't fulfill your wishes. So you want to get them by any means necessary.
I haven't heard you say it like that before.
And another thing about this house, I want to rent this house out. And she does not want to be a landlord.
But I've reached the point where I'm like, if that's what you want to do, I trust you're going to make it happen and you're going to make it work.
But you've never said those words to me.
Out loud. I thought,
Well, did you say them in loud?
What
does that mean? I never said that to you out loud.
No, because you said it and then I was like, okay. Like, I didn't debate with you about it.
So yeah, but that's not saying it. That's just not saying anything.
Anywho, what was I saying? Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like, so here's the thing about submission that I feel. I feel like I do, at this point, like in our relationship, and honestly, I've trusted Glenn's leadership all this time. I think. You don't think so. I don't know.
I don't think you think so. I think you're just saying it.
No, I'm trying to think.
Yeah, you got to think about it.
I think more so now than before. Mm-hmm. And I think the reason for that is because he had a vision with Belief in fatherhood that I didn't understand or comprehend. And here we are almost 3 years later where our family is being supported by what he's doing with Belief in fatherhood. I have not brought in a dime to this household since June of last year, and we are still standing. Praise the Lord. All glory to God. for his. Because, like, I did not know this would be my life. If you would have asked the 18-year-old version of me, like, how I saw my life at 25 or 30. How old am I? 30. 31. I would never have said, my husband creates videos and I'm a stay-at-home mom homeschooling our children. Like, that just never would have been the life that I would have said we would be having. And because Glenn had a vision, he worked his vision. He worked toward it. He's still working toward it. His vision is not done. And we are where we are right now. I trust him more than I have ever trusted him before. And when he says he's going to do something, I believe he's going to do it. Like, the Lord is just, I feel like it's his time to shine. I feel like for a very long time, Glenn has been the
trash.
Glenn has been the underdog. And he's not been someone that people have seen the way that I've seen him.
Slept on.
Yeah. People have been sleeping on him for a very long time. And I think he's even slept on himself, for a very long time. And I honestly believe my decision to quit working lit a fire under your butt. Do you believe that?
Sure.
Like, I believe that it lit a fire in your butt and say, hey, okay, man, it's game on. And I think even more so now than ever, you are more like direct. You are more of a leader in that you are telling me, this is what we're doing. And you just need to follow suit. And I think that's because you've seen the fruit of your labor and you have, like, I feel like you're more confident because of everything that you've accomplished. Literally in the matter of a year, honestly.
You know, but when you say it, it almost seems like it's like a whimsical thing, right? It's like this happened and this happened and this happened, but it was a lot of like, no, I want you to work for another year. Just give me another year.
Yeah.
Right? Give me another That's year, true. Please. And you're like, no, I can't do this. And you didn't even say that. You just stopped looking for a job. Like, I wasn't watching. You just stopped looking for a job. And I'm like, well, what's going on here? You know? And it was just like, yeah, bro, I don't think I'm going to be able to do that.
And honestly, I didn't trust you at home with 3 kids by yourself. I didn't.
You didn't?
I didn't.
Are you kidding me?
I know.
You don't know me.
You probably would have done a fantastic job, but
I probably would have. I would have killed it. I would have killed it, babe.
And you would have had lots of days where I'd come home and you'd be like, babe, I just feel hopeless.
I do. I would definitely feel hopeless, but you have those days now. Let's keep it a buck. You have those days right now. But the thing is, like, what you don't understand is that I had already a year down. Adding another kid to
I
was experiencing.
No, to be completely real, I think you probably would have been better off than I am. Because you had already developed
a system
for being a stay-at-home parent with 2 kids. So adding another one would just have been, you needed to alter it a little bit. Whereas throwing me into it was like, oh, S-H-I-T, I have 3 kids.
I know what I would have
done. And I'm home.
Real quick, this is a sidebar.
Oh my gosh.
I would have went down to 1 video a week. I would have planned all the meals. I would have went outside twice during the week. You get 2 times. The house wouldn't have been as nice. You know what I'm saying? But we would have been fed. We wouldn't have been able to lose any weight. We wouldn't have been hanging out with Rich. Like, none of that. Mm-hmm. But we would have been okay for sure. Mm-hmm. I can't believe you would even utter that you wouldn't trust me. That is crazy to me.
Yeah, I was very uncomfortable with the idea of it. But all of that to say that I think there's just a more solid foundation. I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. Yeah, but I do want to... I'm not done. Don't interrupt me. I do want to just get this thought out there.
I'm rolling my eyes for the people who are watching.
The people who are listening.
Listening.
I do want to get this thought out there. I do believe that the wife should be submissive to the husband. But I don't believe that we should just sit by blindfully and whimsically just letting them do whatever. I do believe that, like, the Lord put us in this position for a reason, and that we do have some discernment as we follow them.
But what's the thing is, like, what do you mean by let? Like, what do you mean by, I don't believe we should let them blindly and whimsically? Like, so the thing is,
so
like,
what I'm saying is, like, me as a woman, I'm not, like, if you say, hey, babe, I'm going to go buy this $1 million home right now, okay? I'm not going to say, okay. We cannot afford $1 million home.
Yeah, but even if we, but can we afford a $10 piece of chicken? Huh? It doesn't matter how much the money is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think you're putting a value on the number.
No, I'm not putting a value on a number. I'm putting a value.
You about to dig yourself into a hole, you bet.
What are you talking about?
Because that was the argument, is that when I make purchases, I bring them to your attention. And when you make purchases, you don't bring it to my attention.
Okay, yeah.
So at what point am I saying I'm not letting you do that anymore? You do what you want. Like.
But what I'm saying in the realm of submission is that I'm not just going to let you, like, lead us in a certain way and not say something.
But that's the thing, is like,
like, I feel like the Lord has given me some discernment. Like, I have the Holy Spirit residing in me. So if there's something that I feel like needs to be said in order to redirect. Mm.
See, the thing is,
redirect is not the right word.
Let me explain something to you. Okay. There's no redirecting you, Yvette Nicole.
Why are you using my middle name?
Because ain't no redirecting you. If you want to do something, you're going to do it. I have no control over what you do. And that's not what submission, that's not what it means to be a husband and be the leader, is to tell you what to do. And nor is it your responsibility to tell me what to do or to let me do anything. The thing is, when we tithe to the church, right, we tithe trusting that they're going to do the right thing with the money, mm-hmm. right? That's our submission to God's authority in mm-hmm. giving it to the church. What they do with the money is between them and God, mm-hmm. right? So if you're trusting my authority, what I do with my time, what I do with our money, all that stuff, is your responsibility to trust your submission to God, not so much to me. You know what I'm saying? You're saying, we're not just supposed to let. Like, that's not how it goes. And that's kind of like my argument, is that I feel that you sometimes have, like, you don't trust me in that way all the time. Because it's like, why is this money missing? Or why are you doing this? Or what about this? And I'm kind of like, cool, but I watch you do the same thing. And I'm kind of like.
But in that respect, I have more of an over, like, I'm more. So in our relationship, I am the one that mostly, like, pays the bills. I see what money's coming in. I see how the money's going out. Mm-hmm. And so it's for me, because he keeps referring back to, like, the $10 chicken or something. For me, it's like, I don't mind spending money on something because I know where it's going. And I don't necessarily think about communicating that to Glenn because I'm the one that pays attention to what's coming in and what's going out. But when he spends money and I don't know about it, I have to make sure that I ask him, you know, I just want to know, hey, what's this charge on our account? Because I just need to know in my head what that was for, because I'm also aware of what pending transactions are pending. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, and I don't know what, because a lot of our bills are automatic withdrawal. And so I know when things are coming out, and
yeah, but
he doesn't necessarily.
That's not always the case, right?
So that's not always the case. But I'm just saying, you keep referring back to, like, me asking you about purchases you made or whatever.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. So when you say let you do something, right? Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean by that? Like, at what point? Like, first of all, like, when you married me, you basically said, "I trust that this is the person I'm supposed to be with." Right. Mm-hmm. Now, the part that's hard for me is, like, when I'm in a place and we're having an argument or communication, I get hopeless because I'm like, oh, okay. And I have to remind myself, like, this is a phase. This is not how it's going to be forever. She's going to grow. I'm going to grow. And we're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think the hard part is like, I understand that even if tomorrow we go broke or something, you know what I'm saying? like, I still know that we're going to be okay because it's not the money or the career, it's us. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But sometimes I'm like, okay, when I give that to you and put you in those same situations, like, I don't necessarily believe it's the same thought process. Like, the control freak comes out, you know what I'm saying? And so for me, it's like, I know that my responsibility is to love you, like, unconditionally, no matter what you do, you know, or don't do.
And right? I know I do the same thing.
Right. But I'm not saying you don't. I'm just saying that, like my responsibility is still to lead. Like, having God, right, as my accountability is enough. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And so that's what you're really trusting, is that I have a higher person to submit to. Mm. Not that I have to submit to you. Because when you say, like, it's not that I'm supposed to let him, it makes it seem like I'm submitting to you.
No, and that's not what I was trying to say. I was more so trying to say that I do believe.
I don't want you to feel like, you know, we're talking, but go ahead. Because I just don't want people to be like, thinking that we hate each other.
I love him. I understand. I'm not like, whatever. Mm-hmm. I actually have gained some insight here.
Okay.
So I appreciate this. But when I was saying that, I was more so saying, like, I believe that the Lord can use me. See, this is why I can't communicate out loud. Because mm-hmm. I say things that I don't necessarily mean.
Okay.
But whatever.
That's fair. We don't have to discuss it now.
But I'm just saying, like, I believe that the Lord... I feel like I'm not just, yeah, I don't know. But then I have talked to women who are more seasoned in their marriages who have said things like, I just pray, like, I communicate with the Lord about whatever. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So, like, if you did say that you wanted to go buy a $1 million home, they don't necessarily say, I don't think that's a good idea directly. This is, like, a very premature... immature analogy, but they don't necessarily say directly to the husband, like, that's not a good idea. They would say, Lord, if this is what you... They would communicate with the Lord about that situation and hope that the Lord would do something to...
Yeah, but you know, like, sometimes, like, we had a opportunity to get into some type of, like, money situation. Like, somebody was like, oh, I have a way for you to make this much and da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And I was like, babe, what do you think? First of all, anything that happens, I'm bringing it to your attention, mm-hmm. right? You're my first, boom. You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, I got an idea. Boom. Mm-hmm. Right? And you were like, I trust you, babe.
I did say that.
And that's all you said. And I was like, well, dang. Now, what I'm doing with your trust is important. Mm-hmm. Because that's more valuable than the money.
Amen.
You know what I mean? So your trust in me allow me to make the right decision, which is to not get involved with, mm-hmm. with those situations. And so submission is about trust. Mm-hmm. But it's also about letting go of control. And so it's funny that the same things I'm warring with in my own life, like, reflects in my relationship with God and reflects with you and me. Mm. You know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes when you let go of certain things that you once held on to, it allows me to let go on some things too. And then when I let go of some things, I notice you let go of things. You know what I'm saying? So it's crazy how reflective the relationship is between me and God and you and me, if that, you know what I'm saying? I don't mean to make it sound like that, but.
No, it's, no.
But yeah, man, that conversation was good. Mm-hmm. I definitely think we have a long way to go when it comes to this. I think that's a part of the journey, you know, and it's not supposed to be automatic sometimes, because then it's hard to appreciate it when it's, you know. Mm-hmm. But Priscilla, you asked about, do I think I was ready to be submitted to? Mm. And that's interesting, because I don't. Mm-mm. You know? And I don't know what that means. Like, I think I had to grow a lot before Yvette could trust me with her future.
And I literally believe that, I mean, we're about to celebrate 8 years of marriage, but I'm feeling like, to be completely honest and transparent, I'm feeling like within the last year is when I've become more confident in letting him lead. Because I do, like, I am seeing evidence of the fact that I have not been submissive. I would like to think that I've been submissive, but I have not been submissive. And so...
But how much of this was, like, do you think I've been allowing you to lead us?
Yes.
Really? You think I've been passive?
No. Like... No. No. But, I mean, how would you answer that question?
I think I would try to.
Try to what?
Like, lead, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't think, like... I still think, like, even though, like, when we answer that question, Priscilla, and say, was I supposed to be led? Like, was she supposed to submit to me at that time? Do I think I was worthy of it or whatever? Yeah, I think I was. As her husband, yeah. It was nothing I wanted to do to harm you. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I was so busy following someone else that it would be really hard for her to allow me to just, like, you know... Like, she would be like, well, I don't know how long this rap thing is going to last. You know what I'm saying? But she just wait. I just could see her just waiting for me to get out of that season. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, well, why don't you figure this out? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do this? And it was just like, by any means necessary, like, let's figure this other thing out. But the thing is, I think my relationship, you know, with this other person was more, it was more like they had direct input on my personal life. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Which was unhealthy. And it got to a point, like, very shortly after we got married, I was kind of like, yeah, I need to cut this out. You know what I mean? And then, but it was still a lot of time where I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And, like, by the grace of God, like, this happened. You know what I mean? And it's only by the grace of God.
You know that, how everybody goes, .. but God? Mm-hmm. I think that, like, our whole life together is like a but God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not to say that things were like ever really bad, but I do think about it and I'm like, man, how is this us? You know what I mean? And like, even like during, because at the beginning of our marriage, when I first started my career teaching, summers were rough because I was a 10-month employee or 11-month employee. So there's always that 1 month that I didn't get paid, and we never really accounted for that in our budgeting or whatever. And just like the way that the Lord provided, or the way that the Lord put people in our lives that were able to help give us a, you know, a boost or whatever, it just,
August,
it was a blessing. And so, and I feel like our entire life together, as Mr. and Mrs. Henry, has just been like, it's like the Lord wants to see us win. And I feel it. And so when things do seem a little bit dark or gray or whatever, I still have like the assurance of how far he's brought us to knowing that he's taking us somewhere even further and better.
Yeah, we'd always be broke for our anniversary. Like August, we were just...
Yeah.
It was just broke. Mm-hmm. And I think last year was like the first August.
Last year was the first summer that we
were like
flourished.
There's so much to be said about, you know, marriage. And I think that people just really assume that when you get together, it's supposed to be, all right, I've been working my whole life to be as perfect as possible and like give myself as much value to someone else. And hopefully they've been doing the same. So when we get together, we're just going to be this pile of awesomeness. But like, you don't realize that everything you are, like, has to change. Most of it has to be redefined in order to fit this other mold in this puzzle piece. Mm. And so that's like marriage. Like, marriage is like trying to put these two pieces that don't fit together and they become one. Like, they, over time, they become one.
Which brings up an interesting idea, because when I did one of the polls on my Insta story, and I asked people, I was like, hey, so if if I asked him, I think I said, "Are you ready? Were you ready for marriage when you got married?" And then I said, "And if you're single, what is it that you're trying to accomplish in order to feel ready for marriage or whatever?" And a lot of people were saying they're trying to like get themselves together, or they're trying to do this, that, and the other. And like when you were just talking, I'm like, man, there's really nothing we could have done to really have been fully prepared. Now, there are things that we can do.
It could have helped.
For sure. But there's really like, because I have changed so much because I married Glenn. And I say that like gratefully. Like, I feel like I'm a better version of myself because I married him. And I'm grateful for that.
Yeah, I would say the same. And that's why, like, I think that, like, you really made me this. Like, you really transformed. Like, you helped me become who I am. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And so, like, that is the real thing. It's like, we literally had to, like, and it's not like we had to, because we're only 8 years in. You know, we have the rest of our lives to be weird, you know what I mean, and change more.
To be weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's already been interesting. It's not like it's happily ever after. After this, we just work harder and things, you know. But I just feel like there's so much value in being, like, not a masterpiece. Because when you feel like you come together and you're this perfect person, you bring so much confidence that's, like, self-righteousness, really, that you can't be told anything. You know, and so the fact that you are having trouble with submission, and I was having trouble with leadership, and I'm still having trouble with leadership, because like even like as a man, right? And so many people, like, no one really talks about this. Like, as a man, there is so much pressure, like everything is like pressure. You know what I'm saying? Like, career, feeling like you fit in to the community, adding value, serving your wife, loving her, raising your children, not overreacting and being like violent, like not being like, you know, your parents may have been. And you're, I'm like, I'm responsible for your sanctification and my children. And I have to be a good friend and a good son. It's so much pressure. And I don't think people talk about that. And it's just like such a slept on topic about what it's like to be a man. And so when men start talking about their fathers and like, yeah, man, like, you know, my dad never really taught me how to be a man. And it's probably because that dude didn't know himself. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's so much pressure. Mm-hmm. And I don't even know how to explain it.
It's so funny you say that, because I hear you saying that. And at the same time, as a woman, as a wife, I feel a lot of pressure too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's like, dang, why are we both under so much pressure? And who is applying this pressure? Are we applying it to ourselves? Is the world applying it to us? Is it from God? Like, what the world?
Yeah.
I think that's another topic, though, for another podcast.
Yeah.
I like doing this podcast with you. It's my favorite thing. It's the best part of our week.
I literally feel like we just worked through, well, I mean, we didn't work through it, but this whole submission topic is, yeah.
And I don't want you to be, you know, I don't want you to be like blindly allowing me to, but at the same time, it's like, I just want you to trust me that I'm going to do the right thing, you know?
Yeah.
And that's a lot. That's a lot to ask, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. It's not, I don't know if it's a lot to ask, and I don't think it's a lot to ask, but from a control freak, literally from someone who had their life mapped out, do you understand that I had my life mapped out?
Yes.
It's like, I'm giving you like control of my life, not, control of my life, I'm giving you, so it's kind of like,
But I feel like it should be less pressure for you.
Mm-mm. It's like, makes me anxious.
Because you don't trust me.
I do trust you, but it's like, I guess what I'm saying is not very communicative of the fact that I do trust you. Mm-hmm. Because I do trust you.
Just say it. You don't want to say, I don't trust you. I don't.
That's not what I'm trying to say, though. I'm not trying to say I don't trust you, because you know I trust you.
I don't think you have to trust me.
What? I do trust you. You don't believe me? Why don't you believe me?
I mean, it's not about me believing you. It's about you believing yourself. I don't think that's a true statement.
I do believe.
The evidence isn't there. I think it's there in some, like, spurts, but, like, it's okay if you do not trust me. Like, I think it's okay for you to say that.
I do trust you. I do.
Okay.
I don't know why you don't believe me. I believe myself. I mean, I believe me.
I don't know if you believe yourself.
I believe me.
I'm just saying, like, it's not that you not trusting me is a bad thing, right? I think earning your trust, I just want to earn your trust. Like, I want you to believe me. I want you to believe in me. I want you to believe in us. I want to prove that to you, if that's something that you don't have yet. And we have time.
What? You got me questioning if I would trust you. But I truly do believe that I trust you. Like, I really do believe it. I don't appreciate you having me.
Okay. Go ahead, Stephanie. Ask your last question.
Is the podcast over? Can I ask another submission question? Just one more. What happens when your partner messes up, abuses your trust? How do you recover from that and submit?
You better wouldn't know nothing about that.
I don't think I could.
That's not your best life.
Yeah. Glenn has never abused my trust. And I trust him so much that I never expect that to happen.
That's pressure. Because anything's possible. Like, I don't think I would abuse your trust. But I could mess up.
You totally could mess up. Oh, so when your partner messes up or abuses your trust. Yeah, I don't know. You know, the thing is, like, I think when you say mess up, you're probably asking, like, if he makes a decision and it wasn't necessarily the best decision for our household. Do you think I'm interpreting that right? Am I interpreting that right? I'm not going to wait for your response because it's going to take forever. But, yeah, like, if Glenn makes a decision and it turns out to be not the best decision for our household, I think I would still just be like, okay, we learn from that and keep it pushing. You know what I mean? Like, there's no sense in dwelling on the past. And I don't think we do that. Like, we make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we, like, bring the mistakes up repeatedly and be like, remember that time you...
Yeah, but it's, if we do, it's mostly joke. Like, we have a really good, like, laugh it off mm-hmm. type situation here. Mm-hmm. Even though sometimes I get like, oh. And it's mostly the time, like, I get like, are you kidding me? But it's mostly stuff that's kind of like, it's always the same thing.
What is it?
You do not appreciate my time. You're not thinking about what I need to be doing. You say you want this, but you fight with me over this. And these two things war against each other. Mm-hmm. I need you to understand that I need this time for this. Like, that's really what my stuff is about. Please, like. And she's like, well, you should just leave. Like, go work somewhere else so that you're not here and I can't bother you. And I'm like, well, where am I going to go? That's really our main argument all the time. Same thing. I want to put out these videos. It's not my fault you ain't putting out the videos. You need to be more productive.
I don't, like, being married to a creative, y'all, it's not easy.
That's another podcast topic. Woo.
Like, being married to a creative, it's a whole different animal.
Yeah.
And we need a support group. I should start a Facebook group for wives of creatives or something. Because I don't know. And whenever you talk to someone who's married to a creative, like, I listened to another podcast of someone who's like Glenn, and it's so funny because they sound just like us mm-hmm. when I listen to their podcast. But I listen to them talk, and they deal with some of the same stuff that we deal with. it is hard because I just don't get it all the time.
I get it.
And I want to get it. And I want to understand it. Like, I have a strong desire to really be able to operate in such a way that he's able, because I feel like he feels, I can see it. When he has a day where he's been super productive, he is like, he's so attractive and sexy because he's just so happy and joyful. And it's easier for him to like.
So my identity's wrapped up in work.
Yeah, and so I want that for him. I want him to be able to be productive. But I also want sanity. And so I need him to have, like, on and off hours. Because if it were up to him, I feel like he would work 24/7. And he's very good about incorporating family time. But it's not always when I want it. It's when it's convenient for him.
No.
Well...
You trying to play me. That is not us.
No, okay. It's not necessarily when it's convenient for you, because it's never really convenient for you. But...
What?
What?
No, that's not true. That's not true. I tell Yvette, please schedule me in for cleaning the bathroom or doing whatever chores you want me to do. Just put it on a schedule and I'll do it. I'll cook all the meat for the house. Like, I'll do all these things to help us be productive, right? Mm-hmm. When you come in to see me, you're coming in like giving me a baby in the middle while I'm trying to like, I'm on a roll editing or something. You know what I mean? And so that messes up the flow.
But even if something's on the schedule and you're in a flow, so let's say like right now it's 10:18, it's 10:30, right? And you're in the middle of a flow and I had something scheduled at 10:30. It's still hard for you to break away at 10:30.
But I break away.
And when I'm there, I'm completely engaged. I may not want to go, but I am there, and I'm completely engaged. Remember when Brandon Janine came in town, and you had me go there? It was all bad.
Oh, gosh.
Brandon and Janine, suppose I had come in town with some of our friends, and Janine was in town, but Brandon wasn't in town.
I'm at the
park with Janine and Yvette when I could have been working.
I thought Brandon was going to
be. But so those are the type of things where I'm kind of like, oh, I feel like I was just attacked. Stephanie goes, how do you deal with that? Because I'm the creative.
Girl, I just said I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm still dealing with it. I'm trying to work on it. I try to understand. I try to empathize as much as I can. But I have no clue how to deal with it. I mean, I just...
You just got to tough it out and plan. Mm-hmm. Like, she has to be meticulous and robotic. And she's got to be insane. Like, she's got to... Like, it's going to be like this. This is going to suck, right? She has to be on some, like, wake up, boom, dinner. Like, she has to be thinking about all this stuff.
Here's the thing. I did this thing called Lifesavers, where I wake up at, like, 5 o'clock in the morning to do, like, my morning devotional, meditation, like, a little bit of exercise type dealio, right? And when I was doing that, I was, like, jamming. But when it came to be like 8 o'clock, I was like a walking dead zombie person. And I kind of value the after hour times when the kids are asleep, because then that's when I get to have time with Glenn. And so if it's like, if I'm waking up early in the morning, then by 8 o'clock, it's time for me to be able to like either come sit out here with Glenn, or Glenn comes in and sits with me or whatever, but I'm falling asleep on him. And it's like he might as well have kept working rather than try to hang out with me. And so, I don't know. It's like a give and take. But I think it is something like Glenn walked through a season of life where I was working full time.
And it hurt so bad.
It was like whatever. And so I think it's my turn to be in that season where I have to sacrifice certain things in order to make it work. And I don't think it's always going to be like this. I think there's going to come a point where Glenn's going to work so hard that he's going to be able to hire people to do things that he has to do now.
It's almost at that point now.
And so, I don't know. I'm hopeful. But you know, like, while you're in the midst of it, it's just like...
Yeah.
It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
It's exhausting.
Yeah, but she... Like, I feel like you have it pretty good. You know what I'm saying?
I definitely do.
You do?
Glenn is like, yeah, I definitely
have. Cause I want, I'm like, yo, how can I help? Let's let's plan it out. Like, hey, you probably might want to start thinking about what's going on for dinner. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, hey.
And that's the worst part. I don't know if I told you this.
But you don't like that.
I do miss working and not having to worry about meals.
Yeah. Yeah. It was hard. Like, I just couldn't. I didn't have anybody to vent to when I was going through my season. And I was like.
And so the cool thing is now that I'm living in this season is he's been there, done that. So he actually does get it. He gets a lot of what I'm feeling. And he'll even be like, babe, why don't you just go take a couple hours or, you know, do whatever you gotta do. Because he can see when I'm reaching my breaking point.
I feel like.
And that's the problem is that I feel like I spent the first 6 years of my marriage being your helpmate. And you were supposed to be mine. But because I wasn't leading you, things got out of whack, you know. So it does help. It would have helped if I had things figured out career-wise and had more income to where it would be like, okay, this is where I think we should go. This is what I think we should do. And we can enjoy that time, get to know each other more. And now I feel like it's a fight for us to get to know each other. Like, this is us getting to know each other, you know. So anyway, let's go ahead and end here. Stephanie, maybe we should just do a FaceTime with you or something later on or something like that, because you seem like you got mad issues. We love you, though, because you have been consistent. And even though you slept on us in the beginning, you came back around.
So, babe, how married are you?
I'm so married that... Remember that time I helped you take out your weave, your track?
He won't do it anymore, though. Or he won't let me get weave now because of that.
My gosh. Babe, how married are you?
I'm so married that I let you throw away my favorite pajamas.
And you forgave me for it.
And I forgave you for it.
All right, guys. That's just how married we are.
That's just how married we are.